Like to stand up and praise the Lord for about the bus, and you'd like to say something tonight, you have a privilege to do so. You need to stand up? Yes. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Amen. Amen, Oral. That's right. That's right. Anyone else? Amen. Yes, all that can save can say that same thing. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That is a blessing. Thank you. You probably said that what everybody else can say, said the same thing tonight, because I'm proud to be here, and I'm proud that God has allowed me to be here tonight. Anyone else? Anyone else? I know a lot of times you like to stand up and say something. I don't never let you, so now's the time. Y'all better go ahead before I get started. Anyone else? Say okay, Stevie. Amen. Thank you, Stevie. Anyone else? Yes, thank you, Joe. That's right, Israel. Just keep your eyes on Israel, because it looks like our country has turned their back on Israel. Not outspoken, but under the cover, I understand that we have withdrawn a lot of help from Israel. So you better watch out. Keep your eyes on Israel if you know what God's doing, because he's going to be right on the spot. So we need to be careful when we turn our back on Israel. Thank you, Joe. Anyone else? Okay. Okay, thank you, David. Very sweet. Anyone else? I know all Thanksgiving are hard. As I was in my study most of the day today, and I try to stay there most all day long when I have a sermon to prepare, I got to thinking this is Thanksgiving and how that I thank God for so many things, for blessing on me. And I love that dear old song that was saying, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me." You know, got a good place to live, roof over my head. Yes, go ahead. Amen. That's exactly right. Thank you. But so again, say thank you, Lord, for the blessings on me. We got so much to be thankful for, and I tried to, in my study, to think about that, to be thankful. As we go to Ephesians chapter 5, and as I was thinking about this, of being thankful, you know, we're commanded to be thankful. Y'all know that? That God commands us to be thankful. And I was thanking him. I just leaned back in my chair, and I just thanked him, you know, for, like I said, that old song, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Got a roof over my head and shoes on my feet and food on my table and a good family and all that stuff." And I just tried to name several things that I was thinking about the blessings on me. And I know that God has commanded us to be thankful. And then in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, "Give thanks always." And then what hit me was, it said, "For all things." Now, I just was thanking God for, you know, for all the blessings on me, all my family, all the good things. And then it kind of hit me when I read down scriptures there in verse 18, 19, and 20. And at the end of verse 20, it says, "Give thanks always for all things." Well, that kind of threw me for a moment. Whoa. Because we just named tonight some people that's going through some terrible, terrible difficulties. Did y'all know it? All things. You mean, Lord, you're talking about sickness? Lord, you're talking about disease? You're talking about this little baby that's got cancer? Death? Sorrow? It says, "Give thanks for all things." I can give thanks for good things, but it says give thanks in all things. I had to think about that for a little while. I had to study on that for a little while, and I hope what me and Brother Marshall brings to y'all is a blessing and helps you some way or another. Each time that I prepare this with everybody in mind, and I hope that there be some way or something is said and done every time that we stand behind this pulpit will help somebody. And I hope this will be helpful for you tonight, you know, because we're supposed to give thanks for everything. The bad things, terrible things. You think about it, give thanks for it. How in the world are you going to give thanks in a time of death and sorrow and difficulties and problems in your life? How are you going to do that? Well, there's some factors involved, and I can assure you tonight, as I was thinking through these, and I could probably come up with 20 more if I'd had time, but in these factors, I can assure you we take all these to heart, and I looked up some verses for every one of them. You might want to write these down. We probably won't get time to read them all, but maybe we can. But there's some factors. In these factors, the sin factor, chastisement, the dependency, and all the rest of these factors, there's some factors involved, and it will be telling us that we can be thankful in all things. The bad things, Like, we don't have to worry. This is Thanksgiving, man. I tell you, we give thankful. I'm saying, I don't have no problem giving thanks. And I tell him, you know, but not thankful as I should be. But how about the time that you don't feel grateful and thankful for the things that's happening to you? How about those times? When you don't feel like giving thanks to the Lord for these difficult times and the problem with our family and sometimes a child, a disobedient child or whatever it might be. You think about your life there, and it says to give thanks for all things. Huh. The bad things. Some things is worse than bad, terrifying things. Sickness and sorrow and difficulties and disappointments and abuse, death, wrecks. Be thankful for all things. You know what? That's hard to do. Is it not? But yet we're commanded to do so. But Lou, you have to put these factors in front of this or you'll never be able to do it. Could you be able to give thanks for everything that's ever happened to you? The Bible says for us, give thanks for all things. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we approach the time of the season of year that many years ago in the founding fathers of this country, fathers, we want to thank you this day because they give thanks for that first harvest they had here on this place called the United States, North America. And Father, we just want to thank you for the blessings upon this country, for these many years that you have looked after us and kept us from harm and danger in so many ways and blessed us. Down to these hours that we live, but also personally, Father, as a family member and churches, and Father, we just want to thank you across this nation, but down to the very lives we have here this hour and the even the names on our prayer list and, Father, the ones on our church roll, the members of this church, and we just want to thank you this night that we might look back upon the hours that we have had so much success in our country and, Father, the hours that you have been with us, and knowing that none of us could make it this far as a person or a nation, except, Father, with you being with us. And, Lord, we don't even know how to praise your name as we ought. And, Father, especially in these things, Lord, that we just read out. And help us to understand, Father, even the upcoming days. And, Lord, it looks awful difficult. It's coming left and right and problems. But, Father, help us to understand and be thankful for all things. Lord, because we know that we need your help. So we just want to thank you this night. Help us to understand the things that we need to understand this day in the name of Jesus. The factors that we need to consider. One of them is a sin factor. When these things it says, be blessed for all things. And be thankful for all things. Why do these things that we think about happen to us, all these bad things and these things happen to us? Because we live in a sin-cursed world. Is a start with. We live in a sin-cursed world. And I'm going to tell you, we know that this world that we know of is just filled with sorrow. And you know, being a Christian, you're not immune to it. Did y'all really know that? You're not immune to sorrow and difficulties because we're Christians. But you just think of the difficulties and sickness and sorrow that is just around us in our little area. And you just think about the child effect, birth defects that we have, and the cancer, and the young and the old. And I just said, you know, this young baby, baby's born with cancer. I know y'all seen on television up there at St. Jude Hospital, so many of those kids, you know, go through this treatment. They don't have no hair, you know. It's terrible to look at. Kids born with cancer. And because, why, God? Well, this world is filled with a curse of sin. But not only our bodies, but also the nature itself. Look at the storms and look at the nature itself. It's come our way in our world, much less in our country. Up there in New Jersey and New York, the after effects of this tornado, I mean hurricane, has come through. The people without lights and the heat and all and tore up homes. And, you know, they left their homes to get out of the weather storm and they come back, didn't have one. How do you feel when you left tonight and you go back and you don't have no home? I mean, no nothing. I mean, no money, no nothing. You know, it's just a disaster. If God is so good and he is, and God is so righteous and he is, how do we account for these things that we're supposed to be thankful for all things? Well, this planet Earth that we know is cursed because of sin, our bodies because of old Adam. Now, Ephesians 2 and 3, it says, among whom also we have our conversation in time past, in lust for flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, the children of wrath, that means by Adam, even as others. Oh, Adam himself, the children of wrath, because we've been born with old Adam nature. This old sin that we have, it come from old Adam all the way down the line. Romans 5 and 12 also tells us, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death, he says, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Our body, and every one of us this night, we have the seed of sin. And results of that seed of sin, that we're going to die if Jesus don't come back. That's the result of it. Somebody say, well, 100 years old, that's a good old age. Yes, a good old age, but you know what? They're going to die. And then sometimes you see, well, they're getting, there's so many, it's reaching up on an age, and we know in our nursing home, they just, you know, big old pile of bones and pain is about all they are. And we say, well, why? Well, because they live long enough to get old, that's why. And these bodies that we know of is going to wear out. We know they're going to. Job 14 and 1 says, man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. I understand that more than I ever did before. And the older you get, the more that we'll understand that. We'll understand that more better by and by. In humankind and also in the nature, Romans 8 and 21, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the child of God. Bondage of corruption, earthquakes, floods, volcanoes, tornadoes, hurricanes, the nature itself is cursed because of sin. But you know, the Bible said that Jesus Christ is going to redeem all of us. That means our soul, our spirit, and our body, because I've already been redeemed with my soul at the cross of Calvary and my spirit. But my body had not been redeemed yet, but one day it will be, because I'll have a glorified body. So whenever Jesus Christ redeems something, he does the whole job. And I know that I'm going to have a new body, that I'm going to be redeemed. But you see, in John and Revelation, that just come to my mind, that you see, there was tears in heaven because there was nobody able to take the title deeds out of the hand of the one that sat on the throne, which God Almighty. And there was tears in heaven, and John began to look up and look down and look around. There was nobody able, the angels in heaven, nobody was able to take the title deeds or that scroll from the hand that sat on the throne. And then he saw the Lamb of God was able, that's Jesus Christ, to take that scroll and that title deed back to this old world, that Jesus Christ was the one, and that's when he's going to redeem this earth, this whole world that we know of today, this earth. And then you know what's going to happen? All these diseases that we have, all in my body, that's going to be gone. You see, the lamb and the lion is going to lay down together. And not only that, you know, it says the desert is going to bloom with flowers and, you know, bloom like roses. And the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. One of these days that Jesus Christ is going to redeem this earth, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus is going to come and rule this earth. He's going to redeem this. John says, I cried, but then he seen the Lamb on the throne taking those title deeds. And he's going to do that. But until then, we know this whole earth groans because in this pain and travail, because we know this sin-cursed world, these old sin-cursed bodies. But one day, all this sin-cursed body will be dissolved when I get my new body. I get my glorified body. So the first thing that we know, when we should give thanks for all things, knowing that one of these days, hey, we're going to live in a glorified body, and we come back to this earth, and we're going to live with a glorified king here on this earth, the Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. And the second thing, always give thanks for all things, is because of the chastisement. Now, some things might happen to us sometime. We won't dwell on this too long, but you see, there's some things may happen to us that may not be real good to us, but it might be for corrections. And God may have to chastise us. He loves us too much to let us get by with sin. You know, just keep on. I tell you, God loves you too much to allow you to get by with sin, and we ought to thank him for that. You know, even when things are using chastisement on us. And, you know, there's three types of judgment God's going to be judging. He's judging us, you know, to start with as sinners, and he done that on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. But he's going to judge us now as sons, but with chastisement. Did you know God's got a woodshed? Most young people don't know what that means anymore. But God's got a woodshed. Yeah, he does, but he always does it. Remember, if we ever get chastisement by the Lord, he always does it because he loves us and he does it in love. God don't ever get mad at us, and we will be thankful of that. Amen? Man, because we deserve him to get mad at us. But God, we can't make God mad at us. And you know what? You can't keep God from loving you. How about when you disbehave and you don't know what God's you're supposed to do for God? You don't serve God like you ought to. You can't make God quit loving you. You can't make God love you anymore or love you any less because he's God. Thank the Lord for that. He don't love me the way I behave. Thank the Lord. He don't love me the way I behave. He loves me because who he is. And he loved me that he might be able to change me and make me like him. So in the next thing, the third thing, he's going to have the judgment upon us as servants. And when will that be? That'll be at the judgment seat of the Lord. So we're going through three judgment. One, I hope we've done it through because we're saved. Thank him. He says, you know that in this verse 11, it's Hebrews chapter 12, and I won't read these because we won't have time, but Hebrews chapter 12 in that chastisement factor, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 all the way through 11. And into that it says, you know, that after we have chastisement, that we might yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are accessed or exercised or trained thereby. That's the reason he does it. Okay, the third thing we're going to talk about, dependency factor. As you think, thanking him for all these things, there's a dependency factor. Thank him for all things. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, it says, Now that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. This is old Paul in Corinthians. You know, when he was called up, it says, to the heavens. He saw some things he couldn't even describe. And God said, you know, you don't tell it no way because it's a sacred secret. You know, don't tell anybody about it. Why? Why wouldn't he want old Paul to write it down? He wrote all these other stuff down. You know what I thought about that? You know why he didn't want to tell us about that so much? I think it is because if we understood exactly what heaven is like, if we could just get a good vision and know exactly what heaven is like, you know, I believe we get so homesick. That get so homesick, I'm afraid, you know what, we might even get careless when we cross the road. That we get so homesick for heaven. Oh, man. Now think about this. Verse 5, it says, of such one will I glory yet of myself, I will not glory, but in my infirmities. All right? Dependency factor. Glory in my infirmities. Verse 6 and 7. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seemed to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure of all things. Now, old Paul says, you know, what I've seen, but God give me a thorn in the flesh, Well, I wouldn't say, hey, y'all don't know nothing. I've been there, you know, and brag about what God's done. Let him see. But God give him a thorn in the flesh to let him know it was all of God. That he would not brag or exalt himself. And that thorn don't mean a rose thorn that you get, or a briar thorn you get pricked in the finger. It means a stake driven through your heart. I mean something of painful. Paul, you know, three times he asked God, verse 8, verse 9, three times he sought the Lord for this to be removed. And I don't mean he just said, Lord, help me get over this. Lord, help me get over this. No, it was a fasting and prayer and seeking God's face. But God, at the end, it says there in verse 9, you know, my grace is sufficient. And it says, you know, my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we get so weak, we can't understand it's not us, it's God. That's when your strength will be strengthening you of the inner man. You know, thank God for all these things, even the time that we have the dependency. And 2 Corinthians 12 and 10, the next verse, therefore I pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in necessities, persecution, distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. Peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised therein. Listen to the list. He said, now, thank God for all things. Now, look what Paul went through, and he says, you know what? I thank God for these infirmities. When we don't feel like thanking God for all these things, the infirmities, you know, that means a sickness. Have you ever thanked God when you got sick? Had to go to the doctor or the hospital? Kidney stone? I ain't never thanked God for a kidney stone. He said, thank God for all things. Paul says, I thank God my infirmity and my sickness and reproach. That means when people criticize you. I ain't never thanked God for that either. And I'm in a pastor and I have been criticized many times. I don't think you ever get used to it, do you, Brother Marshall? People criticize me all the time. I never do the right thing, never do it enough, you know. But he says, I thank God for all things, my necessities. Doing without to give to the Lord and for his work and to his ministry. I glory in persecution, being harmed, being put in jail like old Paul was, beaten and stoned, in distress when he gets to the point where there's no way out. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am made strong. Our weakness is an asset to us. When they're weak, he said, I am made strong when we depend on him. You know, when God brings us in our sickness, you know what? I'll tell you one thing for sure. When I have a kidney stone, I'll pray more than any other time. Now, I wonder why he does that. If I can't thank him for the kidney stone, I can thank him because that sickness caused me, Paul says, to bring me to God where I would thank him even more and ask him to help me and to realize who he is, that he has control, having problems and difficulties. Help me depend on him. Dependency, it'd be worth it. The maturity factor we have. When bad things happen to good people, did you know that's when you learn more about God than any other time? You'll even more learn more about God in the times that you're going through trials and tribulations than you will in good times. In time of sorrow than any other time. And the psalmist said in Psalms 119, 67, and also 71, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know, God got a way of getting your attention. I don't care how big a man he is. I tell you, God can bring him down. You know what? You go to the doctor, you say, yeah, I'm sick, doctor. He said, what are you hurting? He goes to putting his finger, mashing here and there in your stomach. And that's it. You know, well, God can do the same thing. God can put the finger right exactly where he needs to push. Right exactly where he needs to push. Afflicted. Causes me to learn more and thank God. The priorities that God had for me to help me and learn the maturity, help me learn the priorities God had. What is the priorities God has for the children of God? Is it maybe, as you see television, is a health and wealth religion? Is that the priorities God for us, service and useful? You know what God's priority is for the saved in Romans 8 and 28 and 29? And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son. That's it. That's the priority of God for every one of us. The image of his son, that we might be the firstborn of many brethren. You know what his priority is for every one of us? It ain't that we get healthy. Because we're going to get sick. It's to make us like Jesus Christ. Now that's God's priority for me. And that's God's priority for you. So no matter what happened to us, that maturity that we have, the goal of God in our life for us to be like Jesus Christ. And then, you know, there's a patient factor that we have. Be thankful for all things, the patience. Psalms 27 and 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. James 1 and 4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience. And this patience is talking about not patience, a thread, a needle, but I need a lot of patience because I couldn't see, but this Greek word means hold up under. Hold up under. The patience. And you don't learn patience by reading a book, and you don't learn patience by just asking somebody else about patience. You learn patience by what? The things that happen to us. And no such thing, you know, as instant maturity. No such thing. We learn patience by waiting on the Lord. and that's hard to do. The ministry factory, 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherein ye yourself are comforter of God." All right? The ministry. Now, well, think about the thing that you go through as a child of God, and the fact that they're to be thankful for all things, kidney stones. You know why he says that? Whenever somebody has a kidney stone, they say, "Well, they need to pray." You know what? I can say, "I know how you feel." And somebody has been through some things, maybe with cancer, and I can't tell them that I know how you feel, but somebody else can. Someone's lost a child that I hadn't, and I cannot say to them, "I know how you feel." Someone have all type of problems in their life, and there's someone else with that same type of problem. God may let you allow you to go through that you might help someone else in the ministry factory, that you might be thankful that God was able to use you and help some other child down the road. The ministry factor that God gives us, "I know how you feel." And then you see the glory factor. 1 Peter 4, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange things happened to you, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their parts he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." You know what all that means? It means when you take a stand for Jesus Christ that you're going to get into trouble. Children in school and colleges, anytime in politics, when they take a stand for Jesus Christ, guess what? You're going to have to stand because you're going to get in trouble. Look what happened to Stephen. You know what? Standing preaching for Jesus Christ, he was stoned to death. The three Hebrew children said, "I will not bend and I will not bow." And you know what? They didn't burn. But you take a stand for Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you when you take a stand for Jesus Christ. The glory factor is involved when they thank God for all things. And then I'm going to try to hurry here and get on the mystery factory. When all these above all these things, whenever these don't sit with anything that I've said to you so far, they don't explain what's the problem that you've had. Don't explain that you should give thanks for all things, in all things, for all things. This next one covers all of them. It's the mystery factory. The mystery factory. Because you might not never know nor understand what God is doing in your life. You may not understand. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Here's a verse of scripture I like many times when people try to ask me to explain some things in the Bible that God don't want us to know. Here's what I tell them. Always remember this verse of scripture, Deuteronomy 29:29, because they'll always be asking you things that you cannot explain. We don't know. We'll never know. Did we get to the heaven? Deuteronomy 29:29, "The secret things belongs unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belongs unto us and to our children forever, that ye may do all the works of the law." These secret things belongs unto God. Now, the things he reveals to us is given to us that we might know. He don't reveal everything to us. And I'm going to give thanks to all things or things all the above that have not covered some of these things in my life that happened and have not covered all these things. Well, this one will cover it because of the mystery factor. God is right on time. He knows everything. Now, if God loves us, which he does so much, that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins, we should never doubt his love. When we don't understand. We don't understand thanking for all things. Never doubt God's love and wisdom and goodness. So many times people has asked me, why? Why did my son die? Where was God? Why? And since I was able to tell him what I think God would want me to tell him, you know why? It's not wrong sometimes to ask why. Just don't doubt God, but ask why. You know where all the whys is wrapped up? On the cross of Calvary, when he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? That takes care of all the whys that anybody could ask. Because he was forsaken, that you will never be forsaken. In the times that we ought to give him thanks for all things. Even we don't understand. When all these above failed and you need some more strength, the mystery factor is God is still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Ephesians 5 and 20. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. God, I believe I can do it a little better now. I can understand a little better to give you thanks for all things. I can understand a little better. I may not like it, but I know everything that ever going to happen to me and ever happened to me, God was still in control. And even though I have went through some fire and I'm going to go through some more probably if I stay around very long, but God's got his hand on the control. You won't have to suffer no more than he wants you to suffer because he controls it all. Give him thanks for all things, and that is hard to do, but he desires that and commands that. But we don't learn this overnight. I hope that these will help you, these factors tonight. Because you got to put them all in play when things happen. As I said, I've never really thanked God for kidney stones, but I believe I can thank him now, not because of the pain, but what he allowed me to learn going through that. Don't waste your sorrows. W.W. Weirdby wrote a book I read. We bought several of them and gave them out. I don't think I have one left. He says, don't waste your sorrows because there's a reason for the sorrow. But give God thanks for all things. You know, I was reading about a man was up in Tennessee, and he had to go down in Florida. He didn't have much money, but you see, the Lord moved on another couple, and they said, hey, he's a good friend of mine, and I got a motor home. He said, take this motor home, and he said, you go down to Florida. And he said, just enjoy yourself. You got to go down there, you just take this motor home and go. He says, I'll do that. I'll borrow your motor home. And then it says, take this charge card. The gas, it won't cost you anything. You just use this charge card. It won't cost you nothing. You're in problem, you're in trouble, you can use this charge card. He said, I'll do that too. Thank you very much. So he's on his way down there, and the camper was kind of a little bit old, but it started giving problem with him. He said, I lift up that hood. I didn't know a thing in the world. I don't know either. I didn't know a thing in the world about that. He said, I shut it back down. I go a little bit further. I get slower and slower and slower. I pulled into every station they was. Nobody worked on campers. Bud, you know that? Don't nobody work on campers. You know? Don't nobody work on these motor homes. And finally, he said, I made it to a Walmart store, and they just shut off with me, you know, and they was changing tires across the street. And he said, I know, I'm going to go over there and ask them. I lift up this hood. I don't know nothing. Won't go no further. He went over there and told them what was happening. I said, well, they just come look at it. I said, yeah. The man came over and looked at it, pulled a screwdriver out of his pocket, done something under the hood. He said, try it now. And it cranked up and run plumb good. Before that happened, when they shut off that last time, his wife said, I don't know what I'm going to do. His wife said, have you ever thanked the Lord for this situation we're in? He said, no, I ain't never thanked him for this. Have you ever thanked the Lord you got a flat tire? No, Jack, me and Marshall went out of the Camden County one day with we was little boys. You remember that, Marshall? We out there in the woods and we didn't have no Jack. I ain't never thought about thanking the Lord for a flat tire out there in the wilderness when you ain't got no way to get to help you out. Have y'all ever thanked God for things that happened? You broke down somewhere and you ain't got nowhere to help, no way to get nowhere? You ever thought about thanking God? Well, he thanked God, you know, somebody helped him out just like it. Must have been angels of the Lord, hadn't he? Thank the Lord for all things. Lord, I try, but I tell you, I know it's not going to be easy. But if we can remember these factors, I believe we can. Hope something that's said and done tonight will help you in your future some walk, some way or another. Again, I know it's, our time is about run out. I don't even think we have time for a song. But I just like for us to be standing and be dismissed unless someone got something they'd like to say. I know your family's waiting on you. Anybody got anything they'd like to say?